Based on hundreds of millions of real-world tests, the experts at Ookla Speedtest have spoken. T-Mobile is now the best mobile network in America. So you can keep up with all the MLB action from the ballpark to the backcountry because they've got the most advanced 5G, the most towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever. Oh, and did I mention the largest satellite-to-mobile network? They're way ahead making sure that the fans experience every pitch, play, and post-game moment. So whether you're streaming the game out and about, checking stats on the road, or experiencing ballpark perks with Magenta status, you're ready to stay connected wherever your fandom takes you. Head over to T-Mobile.com/network to switch to the best network. For baseball fans, it's better over here. Based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence, data first half 2025, compatible device and plan required for T-Satellite. See details at T-Mobile.com.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18 plus.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome to The Tool Shed, a podcast covering all aspects of fantasy baseball to help you win all of your fantasy leagues. From the MLB draft all the way to the show, we're here to help give you the edge in your dynasty leagues. Now, here are your hosts, Eric Cross and Chris Clegg.
Welcome into episode 217 of the Tool Shed with Clegg and Cross, powered by the Blue Wire Podcast Network. I'm your host, Eric Cross, and with me, as usual, is my 80 grade co-host, Mr. Chris Clegg. Chris, what's going on, bud?
Oh, me, not too much. Just took in some baseball this weekend. A couple games in Greenville here. Saw Bubba Chandler. That was fun. I was supposed to see Anthony Solometto, but he got called up to Double A,
and don't you hate
that? Scheduled to start Saturday. So yeah. Missed that, but it was all good. It was a good series. Enjoyed it. Greensboro has some fun arms with Harrington, Chandler. They have Braxton Ashcraft. So there's some fun ones down here this week. So enjoyed checking them out. But they're gone for 2 weeks. So I may have to venture over to Columbia this week. Fredericksburg will be in town. So may go see Berlin Susana, Elijah Green, all that crew. So looking forward to that.
Yeah, that's like the good and the bad of like the new schedule for minor leagues that they started after the pandemic. Like, remember, we never used to have like these six game sets, so that's great. So you can get, when you know you get a opposing team coming in that you want to see, you can see them six games, but then they go on these long road trips. They, you know, they could be away for 2 weeks in a row now, so that's the downside of it. But you know, same thing with like the ebbs and flows of like last year up here in Portland, we had so many good arms. This year, like, it's been, at least for Portland, like no good arms. Like Drouin was here for a little bit, but he was quickly up to AAA, and now the next wave of Red Sox arms is down your way, so I'll probably see them, you know, probably next year. So the ups and downs, but today we're going to be diving into the lower levels of the minor leagues, down to rookie ball with at complex level. Say that five times fast. I guess I can't. And the Dominican Summer League, which both started up, 2 weeks ago, I think it was. So a lot of early standouts, and we got a great guest on to talk about that. You can find all of his work over at Prospects Live at Jensen_Juicy on Twitter. Yes, Mr. Juicy himself, Alex Jensen, joins us Alex, man, how are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing pretty good. Excited to talk baseball with y'all. I've done at least one podcast with you, Eric, before. I don't think I've ever been on a show with Chris before. So excited to pop that cherry.
Yeah. It'll be a good show.
Yeah. So 2.5 minutes in, we've mentioned the word juicy and popping the cherry. So we're off to a great start. And I also have a giraffe and a tiara peering over your left shoulder there at me, Alex.
Yes. My daughter's giraffe is celebrating my birthday Father's Day combo from yesterday still.
Oh, it's happy birthday, man.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Happy Father's Day to both of you and to all the other dads and father figures out there. Hope everyone had a great Father's Day weekend. It was very rainy here, but still a good weekend. Can't go wrong with some Father's Day, spending time with the kiddos. But yeah, so complex levels, Dominican Summer League, both in full swing right now. Got a lot of names on the list to get to. But before we do, let's get the usual housekeeping out of the way. You can find us on Twitter, Chris is at RotoClegg. I'm at AirCross04. Show is at Toolshed Pod. And as I mentioned, Alex is at Jensen_Juicy on Twitter. If you enjoy the podcast, please rate and review. Those ratings and reviews do mean a lot. And make sure to check out both of me and Chris's personal platforms, Chris's Substack and my Patreon for more work from each of us, including our prospect and dynasty rankings. We're both going through some updates right now, so go make sure to check those out. But let's hop right into it, Alex. Obviously, a lot of names on the list, like you mentioned. Let's start off with the complex level here. And Dion Jorge out there in Colorado. Last year was in the DSL and, performed pretty well. Hit 320, OBP right over 400, four home runs in 53 games. Now at the complex level this year, first 11 games, hitting 316, four doubles, a home run, four steals, and nine walks to four strikeouts so far. What are your thoughts on Jorge long-term? Is he a guy you're looking to invest in dynasty leagues?
He's definitely intriguing for me. The thing that would hold me back a little bit on him is the fact that he's 20 years old now. He's definitely older when he signed out of Cuba. Big bonus, $2.8 million. You always love to see that. But hasn't gotten any bigger, it seems, year to year, which is concerning a little bit for me. He's a big kid, 6'3", broad shoulders, kind of the frame where you expect him to put on weight. But interesting, he hasn't put that weight on yet. Tremendous, tremendous plate discipline. That's the thing that jumps out to me watching him the most is really good plate discipline, really good feel for the strike zone, and kind of an approach that he's looking to kind of let the ball get back in, kind of slap it the other way a little bit. I'd like to see him be a bit more aggressive as a hitter and kind of swing to do damage a bit more. I haven't seen too much of that. Really high ground ball rate. I think it was around 58%, 57, 58%, pulling the ball quite a bit. But man, if he can just learn to unlock that swing a little bit and keep that plate discipline with a little bit more aggression, I think I would definitely be in. Really good runner, really good athlete, good defender at shortstop. I don't think he's committed an error at all this year, which is pretty impressive. But the only thing holding me back is I don't know how much the power is going to happen.
Yeah. No, when you watch, what little video we do have on him, like he just looks really smooth. Like every aspect of his game looks smooth. But yeah, still very, very slight frame. So yeah, that's definitely gonna be the X factor there to see where the power gets to. Obviously, there's plenty of projection on that frame, so he could grow into some pretty solid power. And he already shows, it's a pretty decent raw power for his age and for his size. But yeah, that'll definitely be the X factor moving forward. Chris, what are your thoughts on Jorge?
Yeah, he's elite contact. When they signed him, I kind of a glove first guy, but with good speed as well. And the hit tool is much better than was advertised when he signed. I don't have updated data from this year, but last year ran a 93% zone contact rate in the DSL. So that's highly, highly impressive. Only chased 18% of pitches out of the zone. Those are numbers you love to see to the power. He's a sub 190th percentile exit velocity. He had 25% hard hit rate. So you obviously want to see those things tick up, and they can happen with, he's now 20, but he's 19 last year with that data. But, we want to see a little more from him. I'm not sure he's ever going to be like an elite fantasy asset, but he's certainly somebody that seems usable, especially if the hit tool sticks. And you mentioned if the frame fills out some, he adds a little strength, lifts the ball a little more. The ground balls are an issue. Then we could see some power uptick and all of a sudden he's a viable fantasy guy. He's got speed. What's interesting, DSL numbers, I don't put a lot of stock into DSL or complex stolen bases. More, I'd rather get clock times. But he was caught 10 times last year on 23 attempts. So for somebody with his speed, like in the DSL, he shouldn't get caught that much. But I'm interested to see where it goes. I'm following pretty closely the rest of the year. So Dion Jorge is one to watch, but not investing unless it's a deeper dynasty league, maybe 400 prospects rostered. It's probably around where I'd have him, I think.
Yeah, that's fair. I'm pretty sure I have him in that same range as I'm pulling up my rankings here. Yeah, I'm pretty sure he's in the 300 to 400 range. See here, he is, yep, 392. So definitely, yeah, right in that range for me as well. Another, let's keep it in the National League West here. Guy that I've wrote about, I think, a couple times over on my Patreon this year. Guy that's kind of, you know, not exactly similar, but having a similar type of season, same as last year. Guy hitting for a good average, showing a good approach, but it's not a ton of power yet. Another guy that's also 6'3", that's Samuel Munoz, outfield prospect for the Los Angeles Dodgers. DSL last year, complex level this year, hitting over 340 in both seasons. Is Munoz a guy you're in on, Alex?
Kind of. I would say kind of on that. I mean, he's kind of an interesting guy because he was at the top of a lot of the DSL, or I guess I should say J15 prospect list, despite being a six-figure signing, which is something you don't see particularly often. I'm really in on the hit tool. I think he's going to be a legitimate 60 bat. I have kind of no fear about that. He hits a bunch of line drives, gets the ball in the air as well separately, which you love to see that combination. Hitting for average, taking walks. Still has, you know, not striking out too much either. Not a lot of swing and miss. Only thing that's a little concerning for me right now is that he hasn't been hitting over the fence power. I don't think he has a home run yet this year, despite having that launch angle you want to see. And I don't think he's going to be a center fielder. He's been playing a bit of that this year, but projects to be kind of a left field, maybe right field long-term, depending on how the arm goes. And that's going to put a lot of pressure on the bat. So I kind of want to see the power come with it. Dodgers are great at developing power. He's got a great swing, makes great contact, hits the ball in the right direction. So I'm bullish on him, not as bullish I would be if the power starts coming. Once that starts coming, I think he's going to be a guy I'm in heavy.
Yeah, no, the hit tool is absolutely there, but yeah, like where does the rest of the game kind of go? He got hit for power because I don't think this is going to be a guy that adds like a ton of speed, long term, maybe a little bit, but yeah, really needs that power to come along to really shoot up rankings here. Chris, are you higher on Jorge or Munoz right now?
I like Munoz a little better long term. I feel a little bit better about his long-term projection from that standpoint. I trust the Dodgers development, obviously much more than the Rockies. So that's obviously a huge plus being in that organization. You obviously want to see the more power. He doesn't have the speed aspect of his game that Jorge does. You know, no stolen bases. The clock times are well below average. So ideally you need him to develop power to be a viable fantasy asset when there's no speed involved. Hit tool's good. As Alex mentioned, the launch angle's much improved this year, but we definitely want to see those hard hit numbers increase. As his hard hit last year was even worse than Jorge's at 22.5%. So that's got to tick up. I don't have updated data from him this year, but I would suspect that with what I've seen with the stat line that he's showing, that he hasn't really developed too much more power. But when you look at him, when you watch him, it seems like he should be hitting for power. That frame right. Just screams power to me. And the swing is really good. I love that. So I just bank on his development a little more than Jorge's from a fantasy perspective.
Yeah, I'm there with you. And I do agree that I think the power will come with him. Like the dude's absolutely just a very good pure hitter, and definitely looks like he should be hitting for more power than he did. So hopefully as the season wears on, that power will start kind of showing itself in, you know, in games a little more consistently than it has so far. It's kind of a trend here. Starting off the show, the next guy, another guy that isn't showing a ton of power right now, and probably is the lowest power bat of these three so far. But that's Kiner Delgado from the New York Yankees. Very small frame. You just listed at 5'7", 145, 19.5 years old in the Florida complex level right now. Stole 34 bags last year in 53 games with a 310, 504, 506 slash. This year, 282, 417, 410, slash nine steals in nine games. Obviously, just running wild. Don't take too much stock into that, but he is a quick runner. More than twice as many walks as strikeouts, 67 to 33 in 62 games so far. What are your thoughts on Delgado, Alex?
I kind of like him. Every year towards the end of the DSL, I always do a DSL top performers list, which last year, Oxyopaz and Josu DePaulo were at the top of that, and he was right there with them. So I like him a good amount. I'm a little bit concerned about the changes I've seen from the DSL last year to this year with him. I mean, he is a smaller guy. I think he's listed at 5'7", 145. I don't know what he's actually at right now. Switch hitter, but really great approach. That was the thing last year. Almost no swing and miss. Seems like it's carrying over this year pretty well. Super fast. That also looks like it's carrying over. The thing that's concerning me is last year he hit the ball in the air a ton, and I like seeing that because he's got a little pop for a smaller guy. This year he's pulling the ball on the ground quite a bit, which makes me think that he's just rolling over a lot of pitches. I don't have access to his X velocity data or anything like that right now, but looks a lot like he's pulling the ball over. I saw a lot of that in my looks of him so far. And that's a bit concerning for me. He's definitely going to run some of those out, and maybe that's more his game at the next level. But I want to see him get back into launching the ball a little bit, especially with the Yankees and how well they develop, you know, bat speed.
Yeah, and we've seen that. We've seen some guys that obviously are have the good contact skills and the speed, but if they don't impact the ball at least a little bit, we've seen those guys kind of flail out for the most part. You know, Freeman's kind of bounced back a little bit, but like Xavier Edwards, guys like that. So definitely would love to see him, really tap into that power a little bit more, and at least be like not a zero in the power department. But we shall see. What are your thoughts on Delgado, Chris?
Well, I really like him. I have him ranked highest of these three that we've discussed so far. Same. But I do think there's real concerns here that he has to address. He has to use his entire body. Like, you watch him swing, and he's putting like everything into it, like massive leg kick, like ton of torque, which is fine. But also, as he moves up and he faces better pitching, there's some risk that the hit tool kind of wanes some just because of how many moving parts are going on with Delgado. He said the profile's interesting. It's fine contact. It's pretty good contact overall. It's really good speed. The plate discipline's solid. Like, he's not chasing many pitches out of the zone. It's explained by his walk to strikeout rates, but he's got to hit the ball harder. All of his power came from his pull side last year. I found this interesting. He had a 14% hard hit rate last year, but to the pull side, he had a 47.6% hard hit rate. That's just absurd difference. It's like he's putting everything he's got into it to pull it to get to any power he's getting, in which we saw him get to 3 home runs last year. But as Alex mentioned, the fly ball rate was pretty significant. Now, in the videos I've seen, he looks like he's toned things down a little bit, and there's been a few mechanical changes. And I wonder if he's working through some things, and that could be affecting the lift. I mean, the ground ball rate's up from 28.8% to 56% this year. So pretty big difference there. And the fly, it's basically the line drives are similar. The fly ball and ground ball rates have just flipped. So we certainly need to see him lift the ball a bit more and see him get back to that power. But I do like Delgado. I think he's pretty intriguing. I'd argue he's probably bigger than 5'7", but again, I have no clue other than just the film that I've seen on Twitter of him. <Yeah. laughs> So I'm just taking a gander and saying he's bigger than 5'7", but it's not much bigger. So
yeah, he might be like 5'8", 5'9", something like that. Yeah, obviously, like, you know, Baseball Reference and all these other sites, they don't update the height and weights too frequently. So especially with these guys that are down, you know, in the lower levels, it takes a year or two to update. But yeah, so for these three so far, I have them ranked Delgado, Munoz, and Jorge. Chris, is that the same order for you?
Yeah, that's where I'm at too.
Alex, same for you?
No, I would have it Munoz, Delgado, Jorge probably.
Okay, so you're a bit higher in Munoz. Okay, sounds good. All right, next over, we'll go to an Atlanta Brave here. Another Atlanta Brave on the list later on in the show, but talking about Douglas Glaude here, 18-year-old outfield prospect from Venezuela. And he's one where you look at the stats so far, and they just really don't jump out at you. And same thing with last year. But just the tools on Glaude, like especially the power-speed blend, definitely at least have some intrigue there. You know, Chris, you being the Atlanta guy here, you know.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Is there a lot of, in the Atlanta Braves world, is there like a lot of excitement surrounding Douglas Glaude?
Not really. Certainly, the next guy we're going to talk about later in the show is kind of stolen that spotlight. And, you know, I think Glaude's fine. I just, he just swings and misses way too much for my likings. And swinging and missing at the lower levels like he is just don't really give me much hope for him moving forward. I mean, he's a little bit above league average right now in the complex at 18 years old, running a 110 WRC plus. But, man, this is swing and miss just, I don't know. Like, the contact rates are horrific, like sub 70% contact. Like, he's 75% zone. Those just aren't good. Like, despite the age, like, the pitching that they're facing isn't, for the most part, not that good in the DSL. And then even in the complex level, for the most part, I'd say the pitching's not that great. So we should see better numbers from that. Like, to me, like, Glaude's not, like, I haven't really even considered Glaude for, like, my top 500 prospects yet for fantasy purposes. Tools are interesting, but the contact skills just aren't there at all. And that's, I think, one of the major flaws and concerns with him.
Yeah, and that's something you can really look for in, like, you know, Chris, we've said many times to take numbers with a grain of salt, you know, in the DSL and rookie ball. But I think approach and just feel for hitting, something you can kind of tell kind of early on. Obviously, power you can develop and whatnot, but, you know, just the approach, if they have a bad approach, you know, down there, yeah, that's absolutely concerning. So, yeah, that's something I look for right off the bat with these guys to see, all right, this guy's showing a good approach. Maybe there's some power potential that could be, you know, either they're already showing it or that could come down the road. So, definitely some things I look for. Now, Alex, keep on that subject here. What are some things that you look for? You know, when you're, you know, obviously you comb through, you know, look a lot of video, comb through box scores, so on and so forth. What are some things that you look for? You know, in these very, you know, obviously these are 16, 17, 18 year old kids for the most part that you look for, like, all right, you know, that's something that catches my eye, makes you want to dig in more.
I think the biggest thing that I'm looking for in video is A, how the bat comes off the ball and in swing mechanics generally. And then the other big thing I'm looking for is, like, whenever I can see them against someone that's throwing decent velo or some decent spin, how do they react to that? Are they just kind of guessing or do they have a approach? I don't need to see a result so much, just kind of like, are they handling that?
Yeah.
Right? Do they have an idea what's going on? Those are the two biggest things that I look for. And then outside of that, I'm kind of looking at the frame and athleticism saying, can I project this person to be more than what they are now?
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's like a lot of times, you know, before they sign, when they're, you know, in Dominican Republic, Venezuela, or whatever it is, Cuba, you know, a lot of the video that we see is just, you know, them getting grooved, you know, batting practice fastballs on a backfield somewhere. So it is nice to see them, you know, finally start to face some real live pitching and, like you said, you know, facing higher velocity or some spin. So, yeah, definitely something to look out for there. All right, are you in on Glaude at all? Is he anybody you're interested in?
No, I mean, he's the guy that I was kind of out on before he even signed or a little bit. He's just kind of the same approach for me the whole time ever since he was like 15. He just tries to lift and launch everything and he doesn't square it up too much. When he does square it up, it'll go a decent ways. But man, a 5'9" sellout for power and launch hitter who's already struggling with some swing and miss and a minuscule line drive rate kind of scares me personally, especially if they can't play center field.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Next name on the list here, Luis Baez. Outfielder for the Houston Astros organization, about 19 and a half years old. Again, another guy that was DSL last year, complex level this year. Now he's mashing so far. He had 9 home runs last year, hit 305. Didn't walk a whole lot, but this year, you know, walking a lot more. Again, it's only 10 games, but 7-8 walk to K ratio, 6 home runs in 10 games, hitting 351 with a 467 OBP, 865 slug. Is he a guy that you're in on right now, Alex?
Yeah, a little bit. He's not my usual prototype, but I'm kind of in on him. He is what I wish that Douglas Glaude was, is kind of what it is. Yeah, like, yeah. You know, he's also a little older. I think he's about 19 and a half right now. He's an older guy when he signed, but a little bit bigger, 6'1", 205, probably not going to be in center field. But, man, he's just crushing balls, and he crushed balls last year, and it's kind of the same thing where he's just putting everything in the air except for he's squaring it up quite a bit. And so I think he's got much better bat to ball. He's going to be half someone that hits for a lot of power. I don't think that he's someone that's going to hit for high average down the line at all. I think I got about a 40 on his hit tool, but I do think there's genuine 60 power in there. I don't know if he's going to be an average runner for me at maturity, maybe like a 40, 45 runner, but he's not going to be a huge detriment. And he's got a cannon for an arm that's just probably going to tick up. So I think he can play right field. So yeah, as long as he's still showing a good approach, I mean, he's not swinging and missing too much right now. I think there'll be more of that against higher velo and a bit better spin. But otherwise, yeah, I think I'm in on him as long as he can hit like this.
Yeah, no, that power is legit. He's got a really solid frame already. And he's listed at 6'1", 205, which, you know, it's hard to tell, but that does seem around accurate. But yeah, very strong frame throughout. Really can get to that power. A lot of torque in the swing. So yeah, I like Baez, especially from a power perspective. I do have some similar concerns with you about, you know, where does the hit tool wind up long term? Is he more like a 240 guy moving forward? We shall see. Obviously, Houston, one of the better orgs for player development. So, you know, it's better he's in this org than, say, you know, org like, I don't know, Kansas City or something like that. You can get more out of him here in Houston. So it does give me some hope there that he can, you know, maybe get fringe average hit tool. We'll see. But Chris, what are your thoughts on Baez?
Yeah, I'm a pretty big fan. It's really good profile. He's got a lot of power. He said, I think he's hyper aggressive, like swings a lot. But he's also making solid contact. Will that continue? I think that's the biggest question. But last year, I mean, his 90th percentile EV was above MLB average last year as 18-year-old. So, yeah, that's pretty impressive power numbers. I mean, over 50% hard hit rate last year. The body just kind of tells you everything you need to know about the power as well. I mean, you look at him and you see the torque in the swing. You see the frame. And he's got big legs, like just kind of everything across the board that I kind of want to see. And he continues to hit. So there's some holes in his swing. Sure, like he may swing and miss as he moves up. But I do think the power is going to have enough value for him to continue to play up, as Alex mentioned, the arms there. And there's some other things he brings value to, and the Astros are good developers. He's probably pretty maxed out at this point, like looking at him. But I would say that this is an interesting profile to me. So I'm pretty in on Baez, more so than the other names we've talked about so far.
Where do you have him in your rankings, Chris?
He's around the top 250 guy.
Okay. Yeah, I think I have him back in 300. I think I have Delgado ahead of him. I have Delgado right now 220 or so. But I have Luis Baez. Let me get an exact number here. I have Luis Baez at 286. So he's right in the similar range as Munoz for me. So probably going to move up a little bit more before I post the update. Maybe he gets up closer to 250. But next three names here to kind of round out the Dominican Summer League, the complex level, are the three names that Alex wanted to talk about the most. He put these in bold on the outline, starting with Michael Arroyo, another short infield prospect from the Seattle Mariners. I think they always have every year like two or three like pretty big breakouts. You know, this year, obviously, Class A is breaking out, Gabriel Gonzalez, and Arroyo could be right behind them. He's already been called up to, he played a little bit at the complex level, got up to low A about a week or so ago. Overall, 394, 474, 727 slash line. Trio of doubles, couple of home runs, four steals, three walks to three strikeouts. What impresses you about Michael Arroyo, Alex?
I mean, it's the hit tool, first and foremost. He's probably a second base, third base long term. He's a shorter guy. I think he's 5'8", that might even be a bit generous, but he's got a super broad frame. He's going to have some strength to him, at least. I don't think he's going to be a great athlete. But the biggest thing for me is I think he ended up being a steal. He was one of three seven-figure bonuses the Mariners gave out to JV team prospects that year in 2022. And I think Lazaro Montes probably got the most buzz. But if you talk to anyone within the organization, they were all, no. Michael Arroyo. It is Michael Arroyo. And that was true through instructs as well. And it was just like, you just wait until this guy starts this year. The whole process has been that. And so far, it's looked like they know what they're talking about. And yeah, I think he's going to be one of those guys who's probably going to be a 60 hit tool. He might be a 70 hit tool, and he's going to have more pop than you expect for a guy his size, because he is a super wide frame guy with some good strength. So yeah, I'm pretty high on him. I think of the names that have been talked about so far, he's actually the guy I would personally be the highest on.
Yeah, he's just ahead of Delgado in my rankings. I have him just inside my top 200 overall. And yeah, I remember, yeah, there's definitely a lot more on Montes, but yeah, I can see why. I mean, like, he's the big dude, like obviously the big frame. People love that, especially with those J15 signings. But yeah, Arroyo can just absolutely flat out hit, man. And you think he's a guy that could, you know, maybe in the top 100 overall discussion by end of the year? You think he can rise that high this year, Alex?
I do. I do think that's, especially now that he's promoted to A ball and so far looking like he definitely belongs there. Yeah, I think that if you perform at A ball as an 18-year-old and you already came in with some good pedigree, I think that that's within the range. I know within the organization, a lot of people like him more than Cole Young, who's in there right now.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. And Cole Young's having a pretty solid season as well. So that's some high praise right there. Chris, what are your thoughts, right, on Arroyo?
Yeah, I mean, I think he's a dude. Data's really good on him. I mean, the contact's very high end, as you mentioned. He makes good swing decisions. He's not chasing often. For his size, I think he posts pretty solid exit velocities. So I think that he's going to continue to develop. Like, this isn't somebody that's just going to get off with power. Like, as you mentioned, like, there's things about the frame that's like, okay, like, there may be a little more here than we've seen. And with the data already being fairly good on him, I'm banking that we see some improvement to an already really solid profile. Shows an excellent feel to hit, great discipline at the plate, and some blossoming power this year. I think that he could really take off. He's one that I would get in on like ASAP if I could. Like, I think the stock's going to soar here.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Now, Chris, who do you like more, him or the next player on our list, Ricardo Cabrera from the Reds?
I'm going to go with Arroyo there. I like them both, but I would lean Arroyo just based on what I've seen. I think Cabrera's got solid field to hit too, but man, everything about Arroyo's profile just kind of screams like fantasy dynasty stud to me, like potential in the making.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I have them pretty close in my rankings, but yeah, I do have Arroyo about 20 spots ahead. But Alex, what are your thoughts on Ricardo Cabrera from the Reds?
So it's kind of funny. He was basically described coming out where he was a big, like $2.7 million bonus guy, basically like what Michael Arroyo is right now. And he kind of just fell a bit flat on his face in the DSL, if I'm being completely honest. But the reports I've gotten since Instructs have been really good on him, where he was kind of expected to be that second base, third base. You know he's going to hit. You don't know anything else. And right now the reports you're getting is like, he might be a shortstop long term. Now he's a plus runner all of a sudden, where he thought he was going to wind up a 40 runner. And he's showing better results, not like blow you away results, but I'm really in on the Reds minor, like especially lower level hitting dev right now. And if you've got someone that can generate a good amount of power, has really good bat to ball skills, and now suddenly they're a plus runner, he's going to stick at shortstop, and they've invested a lot of money in him, I'm pretty in on the Reds' ability to develop him into a dude. So I'm higher on him than I expected myself to be, for sure. I'm not quite as high as Arroyo, but kind of in that bias range, probably a little bit lower bias.
Yeah, I mean, the Reds are very fun, just top to bottom. You know, even at the major league level, obviously they're having some success right now that nobody really saw coming, at least not this soon. You know, some guys that obviously just debuted, obviously Ellie, McLean, and Canastico Strand right on the cusp there, Noelvi Marte, but all these low-level guys too. Like, this has been a very fun, like one of my favorite orgs just to dig into. Like, it's really them and Baltimore, like my two like organizational crushes right now that I just love digging into. And they always have so many, you know, these high upside guys in the lower levels. And yeah, it's definitely a fun org for sure. Last name on the complex level side of things for this episode, I think, is it Jansel Luis? Am I saying that right, Alex?
I don't know, to be honest with you. I think like Hansel makes sense to me, and it could be like, yeah, you know, but I honestly have no idea.
But if anybody does know out there, please let us know. I always want to say these names right. We'll go with Hansel Luis right now. Middle infield prospect for the Arizona Diamondbacks. Again, another guy that was DSL last year, complex level this year, about, you know, turned 18 back right before the season started. Off to a pretty good start in through his first 10 games, hitting .364 with a .462 OBP, four doubles, a home run, couple of steals, three walks to four Ks. What do you see from Luis that has you intrigued?
So yeah, he's my big sleeper, and I cover, you know, the Arizona Complex League Prospects Live on the Daily Sheet and the Rains. I'm really in on him. So he's a Bloodlines guy. You wouldn't know some of his name, but Pedro Siriaco, and there's another Siriaco as well that was a upper minor leagues player. So Bloodline guy, you love to see that. Good 6 foot frame, really athletic. Probably gonna slow down a little bit. Maybe goes over to maybe some second base, but a switch hitter who just makes a ton of contact and almost like you see with the Reds quite a bit, attack the zone mentality. Not any swing and miss for the most part. Doesn't try to draw walks by any chance. He's looking to hit, but really good feel for the zone nonetheless. Goes to all fields, decent power. Not going to be an issue as a runner. Got decent defensive ability. And I'm really in on what I'm seeing from him. I think he's going to be a genuine 60 hitter who could grow into maybe 55 power and play multiple positions. And I'm pretty in on that, especially when you get the Bloodlines. And younger guy, I think he just turned 18 a couple months ago.
Yep, definitely a lot to like there. Chris, what are your thoughts on him?
You know, I'm not overly familiar with this name, so this is one I'm going to dig more into. So I'm not going to comment other than looking at the numbers, looking at the age, like you said, he is a young 18 in complex, turned 18 in March. So you love to see that. I do want to talk about one more name before we move on. He is on the list, but we were going to skip. But Johnny Severino with the Brewers, he's somebody I've really liked so far. And he is also, I mean, he's about 18 and a half, and he's at the complex level for the Brewers. Came off a decent DSL last year. Like, he wasn't like a stud, but he's made some tangible improvements this year. He's lifting the ball more, less on the ground. He hits the ball really hard. He does have a hyper-aggressive approach. Like, he is not taking many pitches, like jumping on them early when he can and attacking. And it's almost paid off in a way. While he's not getting walks, he's putting so many balls in play. He makes good contact. The power metrics are good on him. And I really think that this is a guy that is a bit under the radar. It's Johnny Severino with the Brewers. There's some good footage I found out there of him actually. Forgot what account. Maybe the Brewers player development account that I've seen. But there's some good stuff out there on Johnny Severino if you want to go check him out. But he's a name I'm really on right now. And he, at one point, was leading or tied for the ACL lead in home runs. He had four in his first six games. So I'm not sure. I don't have the whole leaderboard in front of me, but he's a big frame, quick bat. He's kind of lanky. He's got some room to fill out a bit. So the fact that he's already showing that power is pretty good to me. So I would watch out for Severino. I think he's one that plays he's a great shortstop as well. Very good in the infield, good arm. So, you know, to me, it's like he kind of does everything you want to see and checks a lot of boxes. But I really like what I've seen from the bat so far this year.
Anything to add on Severino, Alex?
Yeah, just that it might not be clear because he didn't quite show the same in the DSL last year. But that's been the scouting report on him coming out. He was a big bonus guy out of Venezuela, and it was always going to be, he's going to hit, he's going to have power. He might play shortstop, probably going to go over to third base, and he's going to be a little aggressive. I like to see the aggressiveness personally in the lower levels. I think it's easier to coach that kind of out of people a little bit as they go up and just kind of tone it down a bit than it is teach people to do it. And you're not going to hit the ball hard if you're looking to be passive when you go up.
Right. No, absolutely. Great, great point there. All right, let's head over to the DSL now. Three big names right off the bat here, very trendy names that are getting added everywhere in Dynasty right now. Start with Rainer Arias, outfield prospect for the San Francisco Giants. Absolutely mashing so far in eight games. Already has three doubles, three home runs, pair of steals, more walks than strikeouts, and a 387, 524, 839 slash line. I know, you know, Chris, you've written him up several times over on your Substack. I have a couple times over my Patreon as well. Alex, you know, how high are you on Rainer Arias? Obviously, for DSL guys, the buzz is incredibly high on him right now.
I'm pretty impressed. I mean, there's no doubt whatsoever that the power is real. That was kind of the thing coming in, is he's going to lead with power, and like hopefully that's there now. And he's still got room to grow. He's not fully filled out his frame yet. The power is definitely real. It could be 60, maybe 70 power at maturity at this point, I think is within the range of outcomes. You get some pretty crazy comps on him too coming out. I think he's definitely a power over hit guy, but he can hit too. He's not, you know, it's like a nothing with the bat, like kind of we saw last year with Lazaro Montes, in my opinion. My concern with him is that he's a little tight for a younger guy. I think he's another bloodline guy. His dad was a big deal scout, if I remember correctly. I'd be worried with him a bit as he fills out if he's going to get injured a lot, but that's a problem to worry about later on. I think I'm in on him right now. I think anything around 250 player leagues, I'm definitely probably adding him just because I think the hype is going to get really strong around him.
And he's a guy, along with this next guy, that I just put it right inside my top 250 because, yeah, the upside is incredibly high for sure. And what he's shown so far, he just turned 17, just like a little over a month ago, late April. So still pretty young, even for the DSL. And yeah, just showing all the tools you want to see. These are the guys you look for to add, you know, now before the stock could potentially rise. Like, I'm not going to say he's going to be, you know, you never want to say this is going to be the next Cheerio or anything like that. But these are the guys that, you know, have that ability to just really, really shoot up prospect rankings to, you know, make people have, you know, some FOMO, like, oh, I wish I would have grabbed him back when I could just add him off the waiver wire, you know, back when he was free and right at the start of the season. So yeah, definitely a huge upside here with Arias. Chris, what are your thoughts on him?
Yeah, he's one. There's actually a decent bit out there on the San Francisco Giants prospects account, puts out a good bit of video from the DSL, which is encouraging to see. And you know, obviously, like, I'm not seeing full at bats. Like, this is just highlights, but he's showing highlights that he can cover the plate really well. Like, he's going pitches on the outer half of the zone and covering them. He's taking pitches on the inner half of the zone and turning on them for home runs. It's a pretty impressive profile. Like I said, I think it's a buzzy name. So it's somebody that I think is good to get on, like, sooner than later, because the stock's going to soar. Like, if he just keeps producing, like, he's really going to take off, like, for at least dynasty perceived value wise. And you want to be in on that. The earlier you can get in on that, the better. And this is kind of something I like to do. I like to have a couple of spots open on the prospect side of things to be able to add guys like this. Get in on them early. And if they fall apart, then who cares? You drop them. Like, it's a churning spot anyway. You just pick up the next hot guy and hope that it's legit and it takes off. And I think that's kind of what we're looking at with Arias and the next couple guys we're going to talk about.
Yeah, because there's literally zero risk in that strategy, right? Like you said, they don't pan out. Oh, well, you move on to the next game, and the potential reward, if you do hit and you do get a Churio type, a guy that just vaults up and all of a sudden is top 25 overall. Yeah, the reward is just absolutely massive. But Chris, who would you rather have right now? You could pick one, Arias or the next guy on our list from the Atlanta Braves, Luis Guanipa, the big power speed blend from your Atlanta Braves. Who you got there?
I don't know. It's pretty close. I think I have Guanipa just a bit ahead, man. It's just when I watch him, there's some speed there. Like, he's got power. Like you said, he's got speed. Like, he does a lot of things well. I'd lean Guanipa here.
Yeah, I like both these guys, and I just was able to get him and the next guy on our list. I missed out on Arias in one of my dynasty leagues, so it was glad to get these guys on. But yeah, that's kind of been like the book on Guanipa. Obviously, when he was signed, it's like, all right, big power speed blend. Where's the hit tool at? Where's the approach at? But yeah, so far, you know, only 2 walks, 7 Ks. You can't really take too much of that. It's only been 35 plate appearances, but already has 3 doubles, 3 home runs, 6 steals. Hasn't been caught yet. So already flexing that power speed blend. But how about you? Same question for you there, Mr. Jensen. I think I know the answer because I think I saw a little bit of a fist pump there when Chris gave his answer. So are you a Guanipa guy as well?
I am incredibly, incredibly high on Guanipa. It's been a while. I think I did back in January. I was on the Welsh's show for a debut of the J15 class, and I'd Guanipa third overall in the class for me, just behind Celestin and Solis. And it was like, genuinely, it was close for me. And I remember at the time he was ranked like 38th on, I think, Pipeline. And then whatever his bonus was on Baseball America. And there wasn't a ton of hype on him yet, but I got some video of him. And I was just like, oh my God. Like, they had him listed, I think, 140. I'm looking at him, I was like, no way this kid's 140. He's built like a running back in the NFL. He's still a big lower half. And the ball just flies off his bat. I actually think that he's got more power than Arias right now. And I think that's going to be going forward because the bat speed's just so intense. I think he's definitely a 70 runner. I think he's mostly going to stay there. I think the hit tool, that's a question mark. He's a daddy hacker. There's no doubt about that. He's looking to do damage, and he's not looking to not do damage. There's no half swings with him. So that's a bit of an issue going forward. I don't know. I think he's a good defender in center field, not a huge arm, but he's so fast and he gets to a lot of balls. It's funny that you mentioned, you know, you'd never say anyone's the next Churio. Man, the second I saw him, I was like, oh, that's Jackson Churio. That's just who he reminds me of, without a doubt. You know, all the aggression, all the bat speed, and all the foot speed. I'm in. I own 100% of my leagues. And he's someone that, yeah.
Yeah, so you're saying if there was a next Jackson Churio, like,
this is the guy. He reminds me of him.
What would be your pick? Okay. I mean, hey, yeah. I can see it, man. The absolutely very exciting player. I definitely could. He's already shooting up rankings, and it's been – in like, what, 2 weeks of action, or not even that much. So want to see.
Did he get hurt though? I'm a little nervous because I saw he got pulled after a stolen base.
Got pulled. I haven't seen anything since then on it. Chris, have you seen anything on that?
No, he did not play today either. So I'll do some digging, but yeah, that's certainly a concern.
Well, hopefully it's not too serious. Obviously the talent is there, and we'll see the breakout continue. Going into the infield and over to the American League for this next name. And Chris has been driving he's the conductor of the hype train right now for one Wellbin Francisca, you know, shortstop, third base prospect from the Cleveland Guardians, who's off to a scorching hot start, doing a little bit of everything so far in his first eight games in the DSL, hitting .429 with a .535 OBP, .829 slug, already has 7 extra base hits, 2 of which cleared the fence, trio of steals, 6 walks to 6 Ks. Chris, what's the outlook here for Wolpe and Francisco?
See, as Alex mentioned, Guanipa was this guy in the offseason. This was kind of my guy in the offseason. I got a lot of questions like, why were you so high? Like, I already had him as a top 250 overall guy, like, preseason. I just really loved what I saw out of Francisco. And I was like, man, I think this guy is the guy that I kind of want to bank on and, like, invest in and get in early. And I grabbed him in a lot of places where, you know, deeper FYPDs at least. And it's certainly paid off. I mean, he was the top guy for Cleveland last year. I mean, it was just a $1.375 million bonus. Cleveland gives out money to a lot of international guys like across the board, so they kind of spread out their money more, so you weren't going to see Francisco be like a top, like, on the list of like most money, but he was a seven-figure guy out of there. He was 5'10 coming out, 175, smaller kind of frame, but then I saw a picture of him in January beside Jose Ramirez and he looked like huge. I was like, dang, like, this guy's like, he looked like 3 inches bigger than Jose Ramirez. Like, this is interesting. And there was some stuff out there on him. And he was just seemed physically developed for his age. And all that's just kind of showing, like, you know, he's switch hitter. Like, he does damage from both sides of the plate. He has good strength. His swing is smooth. Good bat to ball skills. Like, everything you want to see. Like, he just controls the barrel very well. And there's actually a good bit out there on him, too, that you can kind of watch if you just kind of search his name on Twitter and then click in the videos. There's a good bit to see, and you can kind of see what there is to like. I mean, from both sides of the plate, like, he looks really polished and extra base hit machine. Like, he just keeps doing. I mean, like, today he had 2 more hits, a triple, his 4th triple of the year, which is crazy. So, I mean, like, you don't want to put a ton of stock into like just the basic numbers, but Francisco's tearing it up. He's doing everything you want to see. And on the video, he looks really, really good doing it. So it's somebody that I think will continue probably to grow and probably add to this frame. Like, I wouldn't be surprised to see him add a couple more inches, honestly. I mean, he's young. If I'm not mistaken, he just turned 17. Do you want to confirm that? Yes, yeah, he turned 17 in mid-May. So,
yep,
young guy. And, yeah, Fangraphs lists him at 5'8". He's not 5'8". Like, he's at least, like, 5'11", I'd say. So,
5'10 and a half. I've got updated. 5'10 okay, and a half. Perfect. 7'7".
Yeah. Perfect. Yeah, there you go. So that's what right you want to see. So already some growth since he was last measured for those. So yeah, I'm all in on Francisco.
Now, how do you have these three ranked, Chris? Arias, Guanipa, and Francisco?
I have Francisco ahead, very close with Guanipa, and then Arias is a tier or so behind. But those two are my 1-2 and 1A, 1B for the DSL right now.
Yeah, I got it. Again, they're all pretty close, but I think I have Guanipa ahead by a little bit, then Francisco, then Arias. But again, they're all pretty close, all inside my top 250 now. Alex, what's your order for this trio, and if you have anything to add on Francisco?
Yeah, I'm with you on that same order. I do have Guanipa higher, but just because I think that if he hits his ceiling, I think his ceiling is like one of those transcendent fantasy players. And that's a long ways off, but I like to chase those guys when you see them. I do love Francisco. There's two hitters that are 100% owned in all my leagues, and it is actually Francisco and Guanipa. So I'm pretty in on this DSL class, man. It's way better than the last few years. But he's another guy. I just kind of want to add this, that he's a guy I really saw a comp on when I was watching him, and another guy that I loved on Welsh podcast as well. But he reminds me a lot of Adiel Amador, where it's super aggressive in the zone, where he's an aggressive hitter, but if it's not in the zone, he's not going to swing at it. Yeah. And just makes a ton of contact. I don't know what the true power is going to be down the line, maybe 50 power. I don't know if he's going to play second base or shortstop. He's not the fastest guy, but you just know he's going to hit. And I think I'm definitely really in on him. I think the floor for a DSL prospect is so rarely this high. And especially in fantasy too, it's fantasy translatable. And Cleveland separately does such a good job with the specific skill set that it makes me a lot more in on him.
Now, you mentioned about 5 minutes or so ago that you had Guanipa third behind for this international class, obviously behind Celestin and Ethan Salas. Has that gap closed for you, or how big is the gap between like these three and those other two in your eyes?
Those are the two being Arias and Francisca.
Yeah.
Well, Francisca's.
This trio, so the, sorry, the Arias, Ipa, Francisca trio. How close is this trio to the duo of Celestin and Salas?
Salas, what he's done has been so crazy. But for me, I'm always just a little afraid to invest on someone that I know is going to stick at catcher at 16. Now 17, you'd think he just turned 17 a couple weeks ago. Everything he's done has been so amazing, but I'm a little bit lower on him just because I know the physical development is going to take such a toll on his body that makes me a little scared. And then Celestin's already hurt, so he'll be back in a couple weeks here, hopefully. But I think that helps bridge the gap a little bit as long as Guanipa is healthy. You know, just two in the hand. Oh, I got to say that backwards again, man. Tongue tied. One in the hand is worth two in the bush, is what I was trying to say, especially with these J15 players. And then Francisca's pretty close to there for me as well. As well as Sebastian Walcott.
Yeah, well, Walcott's one that, and let's just jump into him since you mentioned him. You know, he's one where he just oozes projection, right? Like, look at the frame he has. I think he's 6'4", I want to say. What's he listed at? You know, those aren't always accurate. He has him at 6'4", 190, obviously 17-year-old from the Bahamas. And not after the hottest start, but he's a guy that was, you know, considered one of the top guys in this draft class. Obviously the huge power potential, if he grows in plenty of projection on that frame, he grows into that power. Gotta obviously wonder, you know, if he does add the bulk, where does the speed end up? That's always a trade-off. Can they maintain that speed as they mature physically and add that bulk? But he's a guy, Alex, so with the upside with him, if everything clicks with him, like potential middle of the order bat, like absolute, you know, stud at the plate. But what are your thoughts on Walcott?
So he was a guy who I liked a lot, but was, I think, like fifth or sixth in the class for me, and then immediately moved up when Instruct started just because the feedback you'd get on him was just insane. And I think, you know, I'm not too worried about a short sample size in the DSL, especially because you've seen his approach is really advanced.
Right.
But anytime you get a guy where there are genuinely people saying, this is before the season, so the comp didn't hold quite as much weight, but people are saying, oh, it's like a kind of an Ellie skill set. You don't hear that very often. Even this time last year, you don't hear that very often. And then when you all say, oh, yeah, and he's a good hitter too. He's an advanced hitter. Like, it's like, okay, I kind of want to just get on, you know, book a seat on this ride.
Right.
See where it goes.
Yeah, absolutely. Because he could be another guy that shoot, like another guy like Guanipa that if everything clicks, it could absolutely just skyrocket up rankings. And a guy that, you know, we could be talking a year from now, he's a guy that's top 25 overall everywhere. So, yeah, Walcott's always been a guy that I've been intrigued by ever since I started digging into, you know, this particular international class. Obviously, a lot to like there. But, Chris, what are your thoughts on Walcott?
Yeah, I mean, I think that across the board, it's just tools that kind of ooze that he could be extremely valuable, like dynasty asset. I know there's people in the org that already see him as a top five prospect in the org, and that was before he even debuted. So that's a pretty high praise. That's a good system too. So to value him that highly speaks a lot about his potential. And so, like you said, the hit, like the power, speed could tick down if he fills out a bit. But again, right now, I mean, he's kind of across the board, like big arm, good speed. You know, he's already had some EVs, like pretty high for his age. So the frame just screams projection. So I'm pretty all in on Walcott. And I think this is a good time to buy because, like, not the hottest start in the DSLs. People are like, like, you know how it goes. Like, people just kind of like, it's like, what have you done for me lately? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
So we're talking about a guy who just turned 17 and he's getting his first taste of professional ball. Like, I'm not the least bit worried about his start. It's 42 plate appearances, 9 games. Like, who cares? Like, I'll buy in.
How dare he not just like come out of the gate just dominating in his first 9 games? I know. How dare the nerve of that guy, right? Yeah, I love that. Yeah, the overreaction that, oh, maybe he's not as good as we thought he is. Like, no, it's been 9 games. So everybody take a step back and, you know, look at the talents and, you know, the profile here. And it's a very, very sexy profile for fantasy purposes, that's for sure. But someone that is off to a hot start, probably the, you know, best overall stat line for just going off of that, anybody we talked about so far. And that's Derek Bernard from the Colorado Rockies, repeating the DSL, was there for 56 games last year, 9 games so far this year, slashing .467, .590, .933, 4 home runs, 5 steals, 9 walks to 3 Ks, and absolutely just crushing. I've seen you tweet about him a few times as well, Chris. What do you like about Derek Bernard?
A lot. It's interesting that he's repeating the DSL. I mean, he was good in the DSL last year. And he's young. So I don't know if it's just a Rockies thing or what, but I was a bit surprised. I mean, this is a kid who grew up in New York. Like, it's not like it would be a big transition for him over to the States. So, I mean, he's off to such a good start. It's like he should be at the complex level. And the crazy thing, he'd be young for the complex level, which it would be encouraging to see. But talking a pretty good frame here with Bernard, I mean, he's been off. I mean, he's arguably been like the most productive DSL hitter so far. He has 4 home runs, 5 stolen bases. Across the board, the profile is just really good of what you like to see. I mean, you look at the home run, like the power that he puts out, it like just kind of screams home run power. I don't know. I'm just intrigued by this profile. And Bernard's biggest knock is probably this: he hits the ball on the ground too much. Can that change? Like, absolutely. Like, he can lift the ball more, but still lefty that I really like. Like, good frame, good power, solid bat to ball as well. So, like I said, I want to see him in the complex. Surprised he's repeating. Again, he's still 17, but he's been really good both years in the DSL.
Yeah, and obviously we don't know where he's going to end up on the field, but as of right now, he's, you know, played second base in the low levels here. So this kind of offensive profile from second base, you know, obviously he was talking 4 or 5 years down the road, but it could be very, very intriguing for fantasy purposes. Alex, what are your thoughts on Derek Bernard?
Yeah, and we were talking about him pre-show a little bit. I like the frame quite a bit. He reminds me a little bit frame-wise and kind of tool-wise of Brenton Doyle a little bit within the organization. He's got some flukiness to him. I think like 100% of his fly balls have been home runs so far this year, and he is hitting the ball on the ground quite a bit. I'm not quite sure if I'm bought it on the hit tool right now. Super young. He's, I think, born in New York. So another weird thing that he'd spend another year in the DSL, considering that the cultural change won't be too much for him. But there's lots like in terms of power, speed, and he's someone who performed pretty well as a true 16-year-old in the DSL last year, which isn't nothing. And I mean, yeah, I think it could be, you know, 55 power, maybe even 60 power with, you know, 60 speed. And that's going to play, especially when you're playing in Coors.
Absolutely. Yeah. And we've seen, yeah, Doyle's always been a guy that had, you know, obviously that big power speed blend, the hit tool, you know, kind of hasn't been there quite as much as you want it to be, a little bit too many strikeouts, but yeah, that power speed blend, obviously very appealing for fantasy purposes. So it'll be fun to see, you know, hopefully, you know, I'm assuming we see Bernard get the bump to the complex level sometime in the next month or two. You got to imagine, see him get some time there stateside. So that'll be pretty intriguing to see. Next name on the list. These are the next, let's see, the next three. Yeah, the next three are three more that Alex had in bold here. I start with Andrew Cepeda from the Chicago Cubs here. That guy's played a little bit of short, a little bit of third this year, mostly short, but hitting .421 so far, no home runs, but showing a pretty good approach so far. Again, 6 games. But what has you intrigued about Cepeda?
Honestly, a big part of it is just that I've seen him for a while. Now, he's a guy that I watched quite a bit when he was coming up. And he just got a super advanced hit to him, man. He's got a really good bat. I feel confident he's going to grow into something close to a 60 hit tool down the line. He's got decent enough power. A really advanced hitter. He's hitting the ball on the ground a lot right now. He's taking his walks and not striking out too much. Really good slash line. I think it might be a little misleading. He's hitting .421, .560, .632. But probably second base, third base, but just someone I'm really confident, more so than probably outside of Francisca and Salas, anyone from this J15 class is going to hit.
Awesome. Now let's keep it going here with these next two names here. Then we'll let Chris hop in on the trio here. The other two are Jose Perella from the Cleveland Guardians and Eduardo Quintero from the Dodgers. What has you excited about these two?
So Perella is someone who is kind of not the typical Cleveland signing. He's a big 6'3", 180, loose athlete. He's going to grow into some power, super young for the class, just barely 17. Playing a little center field for right now. We'll see how long that lasts. He's about a plus runner right now, got a decent enough arm. The big thing is huge power and more coming in the frame, and he's showing it in games right now. I think he's got like a .481, .595, .852 slash line, .370 ISO. Like the power is legitimately there, and a lot less swing and miss and a better approach than I expected. So he's someone who just kind of like, if it clicks, the tools are going to be so loud that I'm bought in. And then I guess I'll go to Eduardo Quintero. He's another weird profile. He was mainly a catcher, also a little bit of center field with the Dodgers, $300,000 signing bonus. Easy plus runner, probably close to a plus hitter a projection right now, and projects for decent pop and just really looking outstanding so far. If I had to guess who the Dodgers' next kind of Josu DePaul type pop-up guy is, this is my bet. And I just love seeing the catcher slash center field profile. So it's a rare one.
Right. You don't see that too often. So yeah, obviously that's fun there for sure. Chris, any thoughts on any of these three here?
Quintero's pretty intriguing. Like you mentioned, the catcher center field. I think Dalton Varsho, obviously. I mean, we're talking about a plus runner pretty easily. Pretty sure I saw that he had a 60-yard dash under 6.5. So pretty impressive. Good athlete. Like, the ability to play both is pretty impressive in itself. And I think there's some developing pop there too. And so that obviously, like, when you see that and you see him in the Dodgers org, like, what's not to like? I mean, the Dodgers are elite scouting, elite development. They do a lot of things very well. Cepeda's interesting. Not sure. His biggest thing will probably be like power. He mentioned the hit tool. Like, he's a hit tool guy. He's $1 million signee. I really like him. Grew up in the States too. He grew up in New Jersey. So again, I don't say that gives players an advantage, but also, like, growing up around the game in the States is different than internationally. So a guy that knows, when he comes over, obviously knows the culture here. He's been a guy that's been praised for his baseball IQ. Like, people speak very highly of that. And so he'll be one that'll be interested to see, like, what kind of power could he develop into. I think that'll be the biggest question mark there. And Perella is interesting, as you said. Like, Cleveland is kind of like an interesting mold for them to really go after. As we know, like, they are kind of elite, like, hit tool developments, but this is a guy that has intriguing power and speed, big frame that can fill out a bit. So I'm curious, like, if they can work their hit tool magic with Jose Perella. Like, there's a lot of tools here to really like, and he could really take off. So three interesting names. Quintero probably interests me the most just from his athleticism and the potential power speed there. I really like that profile.
Yeah, Quintero and Perella, I like all three of these names, but those two especially are names that I've kind of popped up on my prospect rankings here. And like you mentioned, the Dodgers, Cleveland, and these are obviously two of the better player development organizations in baseball. So yeah, Chris, great point. Like, what Cleveland's been able to do just with hit tools in general, if they can make it work with Perella, that could be a very exciting profile. Do we have any insight from the daughter that just popped into the picture there, Alex? Does she have any insight on Quintero? She a Quintero fan?
Yeah, she thinks that he does a tremendous job of launching and squaring up the ball with lift. she's big on that, and she thinks that Quintero's got a strong future as a result.
Oh, great. Good. A little bit of extra insight there from a true expert there. I love when kids pop on podcasts. It's always a good time. All right, two more names here. Going over to the New York Yankees, Gabriel Lara, outfield prospects in the DSL right now. Through seven games, hitting .375, .531, .708, seven walks to three Ks, two stolen bases, also been caught three times, already has five extra base hits in those seven games. What intrigues you about Gabriel Lara, Alex? Oh, you're on mute.
Kept myself muted for a second there. Yeah, my bad. For me, the big thing was kind of like, he's this year's kind of Delgado for me with the Yankees, where he's just another smaller guy that you see from them that just has kind of surprising bat speed and a really, really good approach. And I like seeing that from them. And it's something that we've kind of seen year to year. And I think he's one of those sleeper guys who a lot next year, the, you know, like Ross and a lot of the other big stat line based guys are going to be like, oh, this is a dude.
Yeah, do you think the power can come with him?
I think that it's probably pretty similar to Delgado, where it's going to cost a lot of his body to have the power, but it's going to be more power than you expect for a smaller guy. I think he's about 5'9", 165, a little bit bigger than Delgado, but enough power to play, I mean, with really good skill set around that decent.
Yeah, that sounds good to me. What are your thoughts on Lara, Chris?
Yeah, I don't have much to add. I mean, the speed's obviously the big aspect there. Some sneaky pop they could get to see if he continues to grow and develop. If he could add a little bit of power, like, then all of a sudden you're looking at a pretty intriguing profile. So I like him. It's interesting. One to follow.
Yeah, I like these kind of profiles a little bit, just the guys that could really be something if they added, you know, power. Guys that have that good base there, you know, that shown them pretty solid hit tools for their age, you know, have the speed element. So, you know, and have that power projection. Not saying the guys that have zero projection, but like, if this guy adds power, adds some bulk growth into it, you know, this guy could really be special. So yeah, these are definitely the type of, like, you know, profile to buy in on. Again, another churn and burn type. Yeah, go ahead, Alex.
I forgot to mention, he's also 80 grade run times. I don't know why I forgot to mention that. That's probably the most important part, but definitely a thing.
Oh yeah, by the way, he's an 80 grade runner. Just kind of add that little nugget of info in at the end there. All right, we got one more name here. Alfredo Alcantara. I never know these days if it's Alcantara or Alcantara. I'm gonna go with Alcantara. So Alfredo Alcantara, you know, Alex, correct me if I'm wrong, from the Cincinnati Reds. What do you like about him?
So Alcantara is another guy that where really it was just like scout feedback that I got from him was just glowing. I honestly haven't seen too much of him, but he was the guy that out of everyone that I was talking to, people were like, oh, hey, watch this guy. Hey, watch this guy. This is the type of guy the Reds have been killing with. If I remember correctly, another somewhat smaller guy, but someone who has really big bat speed and hits the ball really hard.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. I don't have a lot of insight into him right now. I'm definitely a name I'm going to dig into, but Chris, did you have anything to add on Alcantara?
I mean, he's interesting. He signed for $650K, so the Reds gave him a decent amount of money there. It wasn't their biggest signing. It's Alfredo Duno, but he's, again, a similar profile where he's a little bit smaller. He uses a lot of his body, has a big leg kick. We'll be curious to see how that pairs when he faces, you know, moves up levels, kind of like we mentioned with Delgado and also Lara, but he's one that I think has a chance to develop a little more power than Lara. He's shown a little bit more already. So he'll be one to watch. He's middle infielder. Like, he could stick it short. We'll see, but certainly a name to keep an eye on moving forward.
All right. I think that's going to wrap us up. Alex, thanks so much for coming on and bestowing your wisdom on a lot of these, you know, complex level and DSL guys. Before we get out of here, though, I'll give you the floor just to, you know, pump all the good stuff you got going on over at Prospects Live.
So right now, Prospects Live, I just had my first mock draft of the season. I'm a big kind of Wild West of baseball sort of guy, so I love digging into the stuff where I don't have preconceived notions. So yeah, draft content's going to be coming out for me. Also covering the Arizona Complex League on the daily sheet for Prospects Live on the Patreon. And I'll be digging a lot into the lower level, pumping out some pieces of the early performers once we get a little bit deeper into the season here.
Awesome. Great stuff. Everybody should go check out Alex's stuff and everything over at Prospects Live. Obviously a great site. If you are in Prospects, check out their Patreon, Daily Sheet, a lot of good stuff there. Draft, you know, rankings, everything over there at Prospects Live. But that is going to wrap us up. Thank you to all the listeners for tuning in again this episode. We hope you enjoyed it. Make sure to check out both of me and Chris's personal platforms for more work from each of us. And join us again next time. But until then, everyone take care.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.